Before I read the scripture today, I'm going to drive my wife crazy. Well, I do anyway. She often accuses me of having my glass always half full. Can you feel the hope in here today? Scripture lesson is from Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first."
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we are going to study the parable of Jesus and the rich man. Particularly in Mark's gospel, Jesus likes to tell parables so that he can teach the disciples about the kingdom of God. In the parable of Jesus and the rich man, Jesus wants the disciples to learn what new behavior this new kingdom is going to require of them. The parable begins with the rich man asking Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells the rich man, "Follow the commandments. Love God and love your neighbor." "Teacher, I have kept these since I was a boy." "Okay," said Jesus. "Go, sell everything you have, then come and follow me." The man went away sad, for he was a rich man and he knew just how difficult it would be for him to sell everything. In this parable, Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that the kingdom of God is near. God is doing something new in their midst. And this new kingdom is going to require new behavior. New behavior like selling their possessions and following God into the unknown. The point that Jesus is trying to make here is that stepping into the future requires change, and change is sometimes painful. But do not despair, Jesus tells the disciples. It is exactly this new inbreaking of the kingdom of God that makes new behavior possible. See, for Jesus, life in the kingdom of God is all about transformation and character change. For new disciples, Jesus instructs them to follow the commandments. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Because transformation for new disciples comes in the form of aligning oneself with God's laws. For more advanced disciples like the rich man, Jesus instructs them to sell their possessions so that they can learn how to subvert the power that money wants to have over how they do things like worship God and how they can love one another. But friends, regardless of where we find ourselves in our discipleship this morning, Jesus is clear that the first step of discipleship is a desire to follow Jesus. And this is a slow, relational process. It develops over time through the spiritual disciplines of prayer, worship, confession, and repentance. We also cannot complete this process on our own. We need other people to teach us how to take these new steps of new and sometimes confusing behavior. But Jesus gives us hope that with God, change and first steps are not only possible, but they're actually already happening. This week, as I was preparing this sermon, I was doing a lot of thinking about change and transformation. I'm sure some of you noticed that I'm walking a little bit stiffly this morning. And that's because 3 weeks ago, I started a new exercise program called CrossFit. CrossFit is a mix of aerobic exercising, strength training, and weightlifting. And the goal is to achieve constantly varied but functional movements that are executed at a really high intensity. Now, I am probably the last person one would peg as a CrossFitter. I joined CrossFit because one of my dear friends invited me to try out a class with her. I'd been complaining about fatigue and stress and just general ickiness. And she invited me to this class because she thought, you know, a little exercise might do you good. In the beginning, I said, "No, you have to be kidding me. I've seen the YouTube videos. CrossFit athletes don't just do push-ups. They do handstand push-ups. You need to be about 5'6", have a six-pack, and have 0% body fat to do a handstand push-up. CrossFit is for real athletes," I told my friend, "not for somebody who can't even do one push-up on the floor." But my friend wore me out with her nagging, and I agreed to go just to prove her wrong. One of the first things that you learn in your first CrossFit class is that you can get very, very, very hurt in CrossFit if you don't know what you're doing. So to cut down on injuries, my coach requires all new athletes to take what he calls fundamental classes, which I call the baby classes. The goal of this class is to learn CrossFit terminology and work on some very basic skills. Now, when I started these baby classes, I had no skills. I'm not allowed to do floor push-ups. I have to do them on the wall because my form is so bad. Handstand push-ups are a pipe dream at this point. I swing a 25-pound kettlebell, which is the lightest weight one can swing. Also, until the form of my deadlifts improve, I'm going to keep doing them on a 15-pound training bar. The standard weight for women is 35 pounds, and that's before you've even added any weight to this bar. But somewhere in the middle of my fundamentals classes, I learned an important lesson about transformation. Stepping into the future, or in my case, preparing for my first real CrossFit class, is indeed painful. But this new future is possible only by the grace of God. I'm also learning that pain isn't necessarily always a bad thing. No, we don't want to injure ourselves, but if we never try to pick up a weight we think we can't, we never will. Being a baby CrossFitter has also taught me to look for God's grace in other people. We need other people to teach us how to take the first steps of new behavior. I need my coach to shout, "Legs, arms, arms, legs," a million times before I finally started rowing correctly. I needed a friend to run my last parking lot sprint with me when suddenly both of my legs felt like they weighed 200 pounds each. But more importantly, I need to learn how to do CrossFit in a group setting. I need other people to encourage me, to challenge me to try new things, but also to teach me what not to do. Jesus ends his parable by saying that all who sell their possessions and leave their families to come and follow him will be rewarded 100-fold. He says, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters, or mother or father, or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." What Jesus is saying here is that the goal of Christian discipleship is actually faithfulness to the process of Christian discipleship. And faithfulness means sticking with something, regardless of whether or not we finish first or last or somewhere in the middle. The goal of faithfulness is persevering through adversity, not getting to the finish line before anyone else. We have a saying in our gym that we only move as fast as the slowest person. When we're working on a skill, doing back squats with extra weight, for example, there's no prize for finishing first. In fact, the prize for finishing first is usually that you have to add more weight to your barbell, because clearly you can handle some more intensity. Similarly, in the kingdom of God, we're trying to do new things, and we're trying to learn new skills, all so that we can be more faithful to the God who calls and summons us. There is no finishing first in following Jesus. Our reward is in heaven. Or, if we're really lucky, our reward is being asked to serve on one of the ordered ministries of our church. Friends, one of the things that you'll recognize as we journey through Mark during ordinary time is that all of Mark's parables end with good news. And the good news of our scripture passage for today is that with God, all things are possible. All things, from learning and following the commandments, to leaving home, land, and family, and venturing out into the unknown, to lifting ridiculous amounts of weight over your head, to receiving from God the gift of eternal life. All things are possible with God. The other bit of good news from Mark's parable is that the kingdom of God is actually already unfolding all around us. We see evidence of this when we look around our churches, and we see that the way that we have always done things is no longer working, despite our faithfulness to the practices of the old ways of doing things. Failure in the midst of faithfulness is usually not a sign that we're doing anything wrong, but that God is up to something new in our midst. I dare to say that every church in America right now is wrestling with this question of how do we stay faithful to our calling as a church as we follow God into the unknown. Our two churches, Mount Nebo and Glenshaw Valley, are wrestling with this question as we discern what might shared ministry look like between us. Yet, in the midst of all of these changes, I am filled with great joy in the knowledge that God has chosen us to usher in this new era. What an exciting adventure awaits. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.